Welcome to Shanahan on Literacy, the site where we believe there is nothing more noble than to teach somebody to read. I'm Tim Shanahan, and today we're going to talk about fluency. Writing fluency, not reading fluency, writing fluency. How to teach writing fluency. This is based on a blog first posted on January 8th, 2022. And it's being reissued on May 3rd, 2025. And this is the first time it will be in podcast form. These days, there's much interest in reading fluency, but writing fluency has an important role to play in literacy development. As predicted in this earlier piece, new research demonstrates that writing quality depends greatly on writing fluency. In fact, without writing fluency, you're not likely to see much good writing. If students cannot effortlessly get their words onto paper, they will struggle to write well. This blog provides several practical recommendations for making this happen, and it now cites some of that newer research on these issues. Well, what kicked this off in the first place was I received this letter from a teacher. What can you tell me about writing fluency in grades K-5? Our district is making a major effort to improve writing, which is great, but our kids don't write much. I don't mean that the teachers don't give writing assignments. They do, but the writing that the kids produce is very limited and it takes them a long time. I can't see how we can improve their writing if they can't write more. I feel her pain. Here was my response. Writing fluency is a slippery fish. Definitions of the term vary greatly within the profession. Not surprisingly, those differences in definition result in a wide variety of advice for the teachers on how to facilitate fluent writing. Accordingly, researchers interested in the matter have spent most of their efforts towards figuring out what fluency is or its relationship to writing quality. I'm with you about the importance of the amount of writing, though research is not very supportive of the idea that increasing amount of writing improves fluency. Basically, the research suggests there are other more important impediments to success in this area. My advice, get kids writing more often, but don't just increase the dosage. Personally, I'm happy that anyone is paying attention to this at all. I so rarely get questions about something like writing fluency. For a long time, the literature on children's writing seemed to emphasize quality over fluency. This was done by promoting revision heavily, even in the primary grades. Revision's important, of course, but it only helps if you've gotten your ideas onto paper in the first place. Revising a blank page is an empty exercise. National and state assessments don't consider fluency issues directly either. They might get at it incidentally by marking a paper down if its ideas aren't sufficiently developed. However, lack of development can be seen as evident in papers with lots of words as in those with few words. Although the tests don't directly measure fluency, I suspect that most readers have trouble crediting a paper that isn't sufficiently long, whatever that may mean to the evaluators. I've long believed that writing fluency, as much as writing quality, should be a major goal in the early grades. My first publication in the field was about how I had successfully facilitated writing fluency in my classrooms. Over the past couple of decades, there has been a growing body of research revealing the pivotal role that handwriting and spelling play in writing fluency, and the newer studies are reinforcing these conclusions. Experience tells me that instruction in handwriting and spelling can facilitate automaticity, but so can an emphasis on invented or developmental spelling, reducing student anxiety about potential errors while providing valuable practice with phonemic awareness and phonics at the same time. And newer research supports the idea that encouraging kids during drafting to spell words the way they think they're spelled and let the rough side drag, that actually can facilitate fluency. Researchers these days often divide writing into its components. For example, one popular model separates transcription, getting the ideas onto paper, from the ability to generate or compose ideas. That's where the quality part of it tends to come in. Sadly, studies that have tried to disassemble writing fluency have left us with a bit of a muddle. I think their expectation has been that fluent transcription includes lower skills like spelling and handwriting, while idea generation depends not on these mundane skills, but on world knowledge and language proficiency. Things don't divide up that neatly, however. In that regard, writing fluency is a lot like reading fluency. For the youngest students and the poorest readers, reading fluency is largely the result of automatic decoding ability. But with development, some aspects of reading comprehension are implicated too, through prosody. Writing has a similar pattern of progression, apparently, with printing and spelling sucking up much of the variance early on, but with executive function and oral language increasingly insinuating themselves into the equation as writers progress. That shouldn't be too surprising. There are many reasons people have trouble getting their ideas on paper. Kids often tell me that they don't have any ideas. They don't know what to write about. That may be an accurate appraisal of their situation, or, well, just a convenient excuse for avoiding what for them is an unpleasant and potentially embarrassing task. There are both cognitive and affective reasons for balking at a white page. When students at any level voice this problem, I talk with them about their ideas. Their thoughts often flow easily in our conversations, but vanish in the monologic situation required of writing. Another enemy of writing fluency is perfectionism. If I can't produce something perfect, that won't embarrass me, I can't possibly write. Concerns about handwriting and spelling may limit fluency. Many kids hesitate when they come to a word that they think they can't spell, or they engage in wasteful mental gymnastics trying to avoid expressing ideas that would require those words. That's why both improving handwriting and spelling and reducing the emphasis on handwriting and spelling during drafting can support fluency. Handwriting issues tend to play an important role in writing fluency early on, but its importance will diminish soon. It's sometimes recommended that keyboarding will improve fluency, but the results of this has been mixed at best. Perfectionism raises its ugly head another way as well. Writers often are impeded by premature and seemingly infinite revision and editing. Students write a sentence and then rewrite it. Young kids may manage to get a word on paper and then try to erase and improve it before they even get to a second word. This composing, decomposing, recomposing prevents writing fluency and undermines writer confidence. Few things are more painful than watching a child tearfully laboring over his wordless paper, blotched and torn from these constant revisions. Jacques Derrida referred to this as interminable revision, and there are scads of electronic writing tools aimed at preventing the problem for adult writers. Nothing like that that I'm aware of for kids. So what can we do to improve writing fluency? And I've got a list of five recommendations here. The first one is teach handwriting and spelling explicitly. Such instruction has been found to improve both fluency and quality of writing. I'm a big fan of combining phonics and spelling instruction. The idea is to teach these skills to the point of automaticity. A youngster agonizing over how to form the letter G is not thinking about the ideas that he or she wants to communicate to readers. So explicit teaching of writing and spelling in those early grades is just a no-brainer. We should do it. Second, lower the emphasis on spelling and handwriting during drafting. This may sound like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth. Teach spelling, but don't require it. But that isn't really the case. Handwriting and spelling facilitate communication. The more legible your handwriting and the more accurate your spelling, the more likely it is that your readers will focus on your ideas. However, during drafting, these skills just don't matter much. Encourage, beseech, implore, beg students not to worry about their spelling or handwriting while drafting. And don't undermine this encouragement by spelling words for them or marking up their errors on an early draft. I know that some teachers and parents worry that if a child misspells a word, that it will, from then on, always be misspell. However, both research and personal experience reveal this not to be the case. These early spellings tend to be pretty plastic. They change with experience. In fact, this admonition is reminiscent of the oft-repeated, "Your face is going to freeze like that," which has been told to children making goofy faces. Mine never froze like that. Young kids benefit from spelling words the way they think they're spelled because it requires them to analyze the phonemic structure of the words. These spelling inventions change as students learn more about words, and that knowledge will come from spelling and phonics and morphology instruction. Number 3, discussion and planning can play an important role in writing fluency. Research has long found that getting kids talking about what they want to write about improves and makes more efficient the flow of ideas. For the youngest children, drawing about their topic can have the same kind of payoff. That's true for kids in kindergarten and first grade, but not so much later. As children move up the grades, getting them to list or chart, brainstorm their ideas can be useful too. Number 4. Require a lot of writing. New research indicates that issues like handwriting and spelling are more important than amount of writing when it comes to fluency. I think that's right, if the question is about a hierarchy of importance. Nevertheless, I can't see how anyone can gain proficiency in getting words out of their heads and onto paper without some practice. Students should be reading and writing throughout the day. They should be writing as part of reading, science, social studies, and math. As with any skilled activity, practice plays an important role, and given the learning benefits that writing about a topic can provide, writing should be a go-to activity throughout the curriculum. One of the side effects of that should be increased opportunity to develop fluency. And number 5, engage students in nonstop writing. The linguist S.I. Hayakawa required his college freshman comp students to write without stopping, without rereading, without revising, to just write for an entire class period. No stopping. John Holt had his fifth graders doing the same for 15-minute intervals. And as a primary grade teacher, my students wrote nonstop in multiple 1 and 2 minute intervals. I'd provide a prompt, and then he'll give the kids something to write about, and then I'd have the students write in nonstop for 1 minute. Now, that doesn't sound like very much, but for a first grader, a third grader, that's a big deal. Then I'd give their hands a rest, and we'd make a big deal out of that. They'd shake their hands out and stuff. And then I'd change the prompt. I'd give them another related topic to write about, maybe another idea that's connected to that first one. And this time I'd have them write maybe for 90 seconds, a minute and a half. Finally, after another break, we'd do a 2 minute a nonstop writing. Students who don't know what to say next are to rewrite their last sentence until they get a new idea. In other words, I'm trying to promote thinking while writing as opposed to thinking as a prelude to writing. A lot of times, kids' hands get tired and I'm stopping to think. But they're really just giving themselves a break. If you have to keep writing, you might just as well come up with a new idea. With the beginnings of 3 compositions in hand, students can begin to shape and improve their ideas. Sometimes I'd have them pick the one they like best for polishing, or perhaps I would ask them to combine all 3 into a single paper. Over time, the students gained facility. They could generate a lot of sentences about an idea quickly. They could write and think simultaneously. And because of the limitations of such writing, they came to see the value of revision and editing. When they're doing that kind of writing, they don't mind going back and fixing it because they can see the problems with it. Writing fluency has been neglected for too long. It may not seem important. It isn't tested, but it's a key ingredient to writing quality, which is tested. And so I think it's really a good idea for you to teach this. Now, that's the final word on writing fluency for today. If you're interested in a written copy of this, you can find that under How to Teach Writing Fluency, published on May 3rd, 2025 on the Shanahan on Literacy website. Because this is a blast from the past, the written version includes a link to the original. 14 comments were made on this when it was first published, and you might find those comments to be informative. This version includes 17 research references that you might be interested in, and those are available to you. I'd like to thank our sound engineer, Greg Johnson, for making this listenable, and I'd like to thank you for tuning in. I hope to see you up the road a piece. Thanks.